your hearts. And man, oh man, I'm still, my heart is so full from hearing the manifestations and what God said just to us in those manifestations. And I was thinking also about what I was going to share, and it's pretty neat. God made some statements such as, "You're precious to me, fellowship with me." He encouraged us to fellowship, have intimate fellowship with Him. He's called us to do things that will bring us great joy. God never calls us to do anything other than something that will bless our lives. Amazing. "I'll be faithful to my word." Wow, what a God. "Look upon you with favor and joy. Look daily to me. Seek my face. See my peace, my rest." Wow. "To be lights." Great encouragement to share God's word, right? We heard those in the manifestation. "I love you. Hold my hands. Keep my word at the center of your life. My presence is always with you." Whew. We've got a great, big, wonderful God, don't we? Amazing. Just amazing. So, as I share God's word with you, perhaps some of these other things will come to mind as well. So, great. What I want to share with you today is something I've titled God's Prized Possession Functioning. You know, I'm not really good at making things. You know, we were talking about Gabe. He's mechanically minded. And that's not me. But I try to make things. You know, and when I was a small child, my brother was very good at making things. He'd make model airplanes and fly them and ships and all kinds of things. And I'd try to get those little plastic airplanes and make them. And if I could get the propeller to go around, I was happy, you know. So, you know, I thought it was pretty good, what I made there. And I'd ask my mom, "What do you think? Is this good?" "Oh, this is great." But you know, my friends, they didn't think it was so good. You think that's good? Oh, my goodness. So, as time went on, I continued to strive to make things and do stuff that could be helpful for folks. And I remember in high school, they allowed me to be in shop class. You know, I don't know why, but you know, my wood shop teacher was doing a cut. I wanted to make some bamboo with bamboo. Of bongos, that's what I was thinking of. Set of bongos. And so he was pushing some wood through a table saw at an angle. He got caught, and it cut his finger almost off. 18 stitches on one little finger. So, you know, I was surprised they'd let me into metal shop. And the teacher was very, you know, kept his eye on me. But you know what? I made in foundry, where you can pour metal into some kind of a form that you make, and I made this. You know what this is? Yeah, it's a decorative little stand, hot plate stand. And who did I give it to? My mom. And she said, "Oh, this is great," you know? So I felt pretty good about that. And you know what else she did that really made a difference for me? She used it. She actually kept it and used it. And lo and behold, I still have this. And it's being used for decorative purposes right now. And I don't know if we use it for... Yeah, okay, we still use it. So, you know, to see it function really made a difference for me. When I was in kindergarten, I got this... We had a craft day. And I got a Coke bottle, one of those old-fashioned Coke bottles, and painted it and put stickers on it. And then I put a cork with a little nozzle with holes in it, and you'd put water in there, put the cork on, and you would water, sprinkle your clothes to iron them. Now, this is before they had irons with little water guns on them. And so, you know, my brother and sister saw this and they kind of, what is that? But you know who did like it? My mom did. And she used that year after year. We would move to a new location. My dad was in the military. We're moving every 3 years. And every place we went, you know, it still made the packing, you know. It got packed. A lot of things didn't. But I remember in college seeing that. And my mom still used that. So it really, you know, touches your heart when something you've made is used. Something you've made that is used. And it really makes a big difference. Now, can you imagine Eli Whitney? What did Eli Whitney invent? The cotton gin. So he invents this beautiful piece of equipment, the labor-saving device here, and it never got used. He just put it on the shelf. Oh, that looks nice. It's beautiful. It really could do some great things, but no, we'll just keep it on the shelf. No way. Boy, when I can imagine when people were using this cotton gin, it really blessed his life that folks appreciated what he did. What about Ford and the cars? You know, he just didn't make those cars so he could have a warehouse full of cars and admire them. He made it for it to be used, to function. Yeah. So just like these things that I made, it really blessed me to see that it was used. There was a purpose to it, and in that purpose, it got used. So what a blessing that is. You know, as born-again believers, we have a lot. We've been given a lot. And I was thinking about, you know, after Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price, he died for us, God raised him from the dead. He came back in his resurrected body for, what, 40 days? Then he ascended on up, right? 10 days was Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit was first made available. And I was just thinking, I know this is going to sound silly to you, but, you know, Christ comes up, he ascends up. God says, now I've got to make this new birth man. What are we going to do in this born again person? Let's give him eternal life. You know, so God called, you know, Jesus Christ over to help him out. Probably called Mike and Gabe over to discuss this situation. The angels, right? Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, okay? Okay, what do we do for this born again one? Hey, how about a couple manifestations? Hey, how about 9 manifestations? Really covered? Yeah, let's do that. So they came up with this born-again person. Oh, my goodness, just a beautiful operation here. You couldn't have it any better. And so what did they do? They made it available for those who confess, got born again, and boop, they get this great gift of Holy Spirit, full of all the wonderful spiritual realities of sonship rights, eternal life, manifestations. So what do you think God wanted to do with that? Just kind of, let's set it on the shelf here and look at our beautiful work. Isn't that something? No. He wanted it to function, to work, to perform. And wow. I think about this in light of what God has given us as born-again ones, the purpose of all this wonderful sonship rights and all we are in Christ. And you know what? God wants us to live it, to use it, to be it. He wants us to perform. So I want to share this with you because I feel this is something that a lot of believers really don't think about. They are so grateful and thankful to have what they have in Christ, eternal life, the hope of Christ's return, but maybe not so much doing anything about it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. He wanted to see us function perform in light of what he's given us. So in 1 Corinthians. Boy, you're going to get some exercise here, huh? Don't tear your Bible pages. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19, one of my favorite verses here. Verse 19 of chapter 6, 1 Corinthians. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You don't belong to yourself. For you are bought, or were bought, with a price. What is the price that bought us? Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And the rest of it really is not in the Greek text. So we've got to remember that we've been bought. We belong to God Almighty. He's caused us to have all these wonderful realities. But it's not like he wants us to be set on a shelf and admire. He wants us to perform. He's given us great calling, great cause to do things that he's called us to do. What did we hear in the manifestations? You know, he wants us to be lights to the world. He wants us to hold forth his word. So God has a great purpose for us, a great purpose. Now we can go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God wants us to function as Christians. That's what's really, really important. How do we use what we have? Are we using what we have? Are we doing what God has called us to do? So in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, says the old King James, but it really communicates a new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. And the Majera translation from the Aramaic says that. It says we are a new creation. Let's see here if I've got this. Everyone who is in Christ is therefore a new creation. Old things have passed away. So new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing to have and a reality that we want to not forget. And along with that, God has called us to do things, to perform. He has a purpose for our life. The most important activity we do day in and day out is to function as a son of God. Function as a son of God. Let's say somebody calls you on the phone and says, Joe Smucatelli fell off his bike and he's hurting. What would a son of God do? Oh, yeah. All right, probably speak in tongues. Start functioning. Start functioning, performing as a son of God, taking it on. God wants us to function as a Christian. He wants us to perform. It's like an orchestra. I mean, you see, I heard on PBS a beautiful orchestra, and they had like 20 violins and a bunch of oboes and bass guys and all kinds of different instruments they were playing. But if they didn't perform, if they just sat there and kind of practice but didn't work together to really produce the beautiful music that they were intended to do, I wouldn't pay to go to it, would you? No, you want to see a performance. You want to see it functioning. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. You know, if God has If God has purposed something, then He's going to do it. We can count on God. If He says He's going to do something, He is going to do it. And I want to show you a number of verses with that in mind. So, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 12. Ezekiel 12, verse 25. For I am the Lord. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged or delayed. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. God will perform. He will do what He's purposed to do. You know, my challenge to you is we as believers, born-again ones, we need to perform. We need to function in light of who we are. And you're not your own, right? You've been bought with a price. You belong to God Almighty. And that we want to remember as well. Okay, Ezekiel 37. Look at a few more verses along these lines where God has purposed things, said things that He'll do, and He will do them. We can always count on God. And He said that in the manifestations. I think we should have just said amen after the manifestations, and that was it. If we heard, you know, take to heart what was said. So 37:14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and what? And performed it, says the Lord. He's going to do it. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings. All right, 2 Kings 23. Look at another example here of God's faithfulness and how He functions and how He works. God has a purpose. He had a purpose in the beginning to have children that loved Him, that had His seed within them. And through the years, it happened through Jesus Christ. Okay, 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23, verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart and all their soul. And this next one, to what? Perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They said, yes, I agree, we're going to stand on this. See, as you and I, as born again ones, we want to have that commitment. We want to have that resolve in our life to do what God's called us to do. Every one of us has a function in the body of Christ, just like an orchestra. You know, this big orchestra I saw, I was watching, and had, like I said, all these violins and bass and the guy with the drums and the timpanis and everything you could imagine. And they're playing this big, great, beautiful song with great strength. And then the camera panned on this one guy. He had a little piccolo, just this little piccolo. But that was a part of this orchestra doing the job that they were supposed to do. You know, we each have a unique job in the body of Christ. My exhortation to you is to recognize that and to perform. Get out there and do it. Do it. Okay. Let's look at Psalms 57. A few more verses here. Psalm 57, verse 2. 57:2. Psalm 57:2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. God doesn't fail in His job, does He? He has a job just like we do. And He performs, and He's not going to fail to perform. 119, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. 105. Boy, this is a big one, huh? It's a beautiful one, too. Psalm 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I have sworn, and I will perform it. Boy, what a great attitude to have. Make a resolution to do what God's called you to do. Perform that resolution. I teach a class on Thursdays up in Temecula at a career college. And one of the classes I teach is a attitude motivational class, really. It's a class about helping the individual be a better person, to be responsible. And one of the aspects of doing this is make resolutions. You know, say what you're going to do and then follow through with it and do it. Take responsibility and do what you say you're going to do. Have integrity with your words. And one of the students gave me a book it was like so many resolutions. It was about people making resolutions, famous people that we recognize as accomplished people, people that get things done. And George Washington was one of them. Ben Franklin was another. And then the other, who's the guy that did the Great Awakening in the United States? Any history buffs? Not Whitfield. He definitely was there. I forget his name, but he too had these resolutions that they would, you know, write down and help them accomplish what they feel was best to do. And you and I need to resolve. We need to resolve, like it says here, I have sworn and I will perform it. Now, I have sworn positive that I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Let's go to back to 2 Corinthians, because this really sets it for us, I believe, as believers. Because I believe every believer has a responsibility, a calling that fits what is said here in this chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Okay, we're going to start in verse 14. 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now that doesn't kind of make too much sense to me. So you know where I went to check it out? The Aramaic, the Megara text here. So what a wonderful resource here. So, for the love of Christ compels us to determine this, that one died on behalf of everyone, so then everyone is dead in him. Okay? So if one dies for us, then he died for everyone. That makes a little more sense. And let me continue with the Aramaic here. And he died on behalf of everyone, so that those who live should not live for themselves. You don't live for yourselves. You've been bought with a price. So who do you live for? You live for God. So those who live should not live for themselves, but for him who died and rose for them. And from now on, we do not know anyone in the flesh, and even if we have known Christ in the flesh, yet now we do not know Him. Everyone who is in Christ is, therefore, a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away, and everything has become new from God, who reconciled us to Himself in Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. You and I all have this wonderful duty to perform, to reconcile man back to God. What a wonderful privilege to do that. For God was in Christ, the one who reconciled the world with His majesty, and did not count to them their sins. And He placed in us the word of reconciliation. So we have the word of reconciliation to do the job. God has given us the calling, the thing to do, and the thing to use to do it. All right? For God was in Christ, the one who reconciled the world with His majesty, did not count to them their sins, and He placed in us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are what? We're ambassadors. We represent God. I don't care what God's called you to do in the family as far as detailed ministries or whatever, but I know one thing. We're ambassadors. You know, and if you don't know exactly what God has called you to do in the family, at least you know that you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the ministry of reconciliation. You've got the word of reconciliation to do the job. Therefore, we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ. And it is as if God were begging you by way of us on behalf of Christ. Therefore, we beg you be reconciled to God. You're reconciled to God in light of you're an ambassador. Get excited about it. Wow. There is nothing greater than you that you will do in your life other than help. No, that didn't sound right. So let me say it again. There's nothing greater that you will do than to help somebody get born again in the family of God. From death unto life. When somebody's reconciled to God, they get born again, what are the angels doing? They're party time. And they don't, there's nothing else I read in the Word where they get all excited other than when people get born again of God's Spirit. You and I, that's the greatest thing you'll ever do. Wow. To help somebody get born again. You know, and there's other great things too, obviously, to keep people doing it, you know. Help them to see who they are in Christ so that they can perform, so they can do what God's called them to do. So what a glorious thing that we have. What an opportunity for us to be successful. What a calling in our life. What a fulfillment. I mean, people, I think, live their life. You have one life to live. I just feel sorry for people who have got caught up into stuff, and they're getting older and older, and then all of a sudden they realize, hey, my life's almost to the end. What have I done with it? I tell you, if you've done some of this for God, there's wonderful rewards that are eternally given to you. So, wow. Let's go to chapter 8 in this wonderful 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8. Verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness or the diligence of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. To will, that word forward is to will, but also to be forward or to will to do as you did a year ago. Now therefore finish, perform the doing of it. Perform the doing of it. That word perform in the Greek is finish. Now therefore finish the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Boy, oh boy, what a great exhortation here. To understand what we have and that what we will to do. What do you will to do in your life? What's going to count in your life? Why would you do the things that you do? Think about it sometimes when you're doing stuff. Is this a blessing for God? You know, we've got to be our best. God works mightily in those who make a will, a decision, a resolution to do, to perform, and then they do it. They have the integrity to their words that they will accomplish, perform what they will to do. For there first, and if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Okay? You have a willing mind, you say, I'm going to do this, then that's, you got it. You just need to perform. All of us. All of us. I think the Aramaic verse 12, for if there is a willingness, so he is accepted according to what he has, not according to what he does not have. I think that really settles that. Great exhortation. Well, let's close in Philippians here. Philippians. Well, thanks for putting up with me this morning. I trust that, you know, you're seeing some things in here that will hit your heart, that will get you to do something, you know? Not to say, oh, that was weird or nice or whatever you would say, but that something clicked that, hey, maybe I need to really talk with the Father and really just continue to be my best for Him. Be my best for Him. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I think a lot of people today, they remember somebody and then they think evil of them. They think, oh, I can't believe what he did last year. No. A believer, he thanks God upon every remembrance of the other believers. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request, supplication, how? With joy. Man, our life should be a joy. Now we hit obstacles, we hit things that are bumps in the road. But boy, what a great thing that is, because then we're experience. What's that thing in Romans 5? It talks about where you have experience, tribulation, experience, patience, work with patience. So yeah, that's good. But let's keep the joy in our heart as we do the things God's called us to do. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. And has God begun a good work in you? Darn right he has. Wow. Even as it is meet. I'm sorry, I missed the big punchline here. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform. The word perform is complete. He'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wow. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds. Paul at this time was in bonds. And he's saying these things. God's telling them what to say, obviously, and have written in the Word of God. What an attitude to have. Bound up, and he still thanks God. He makes requests with joy. And he's encouraging them that God's going to work with you. He's going to perform. He's going to complete until the day of Christ. Man, oh man, what a God. For God is my record, verse 8. How greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Wow. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or perception or discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness that are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Isn't that something? We want to be to the praise and glory of God. Man, oh man. We are truly God's prized possession. We've got to be His prized possession. Look what He paid for us. I wouldn't pay what He had done to His Son, Jesus Christ, to get me, to buy me. I'm not worth the Lord Jesus Christ. But God thought so. And if God thought so, then we need to think of ourselves how God thinks of us. And then get involved and do something about it. Let us act like it. Let us complete, finish what God has willed for us to do. And then when that day comes, when Christ comes to gather us, we can hear our Heavenly Father said, "Son, job well done." So Heavenly Father, I pray with joy in my heart for the wonderful saints that I have the privilege to fellowship with. And Father, I thank You that we can love each other with the love of God, that we can encourage each other to be our best for You. And we are very, very grateful that we can have the opportunity to represent You as ambassadors, to bring back people to You that are lost, that are dying, that we can truly help people get born again. So thank You, Father, for making us Your prized possession and giving us the opportunity and privilege to serve You. And I pray and thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. Great, Bonnie.